Thank you, Lord. Okay. This is Wednesday evening, St. Patrick's Day 3/17/21. This is a no-nonsense look at the book of Revelation. The title is called Backup. All right, Jude 14 and 15. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. I'm going to go on with the rest of that, but you could say that we have, war was declared in Genesis 3. We're going to look at that, what God said. We're born into a war, basically. There is a fight over your soul, and when you choose which way you'll go. All right here, this is Genesis 3:6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened and they knew that they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his head. Okay, we'll just stop right there. All right, there's been a war between Satan and the woman's seed. That's humanity. Okay, now with that, let's turn over to Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to start with verse 1 there. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, upon her a crown of 12 stars. She being with child, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to deliver her child as soon as it was born. Let me get a drink. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all the nations, excuse me, with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up unto God, into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Excuse me, hold on. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. This is how we combat the enemy. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So this is basically the Genesis account. I told you the book of Revelation is history. Yeah, we're seeing that as the weeks go on, you begin to see, because there's other scriptures that, you know, back it up. Okay, all right. I want to say to you tonight that the saints are sealed and they're deputized. Remember that. Sealed and deputized. Okay? All right, Revelation 7. Why are we deputized? We're in a war. What have we been given commission over? The earth. Yeah. All right, 7:1-8. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. You know, I'm hearing a lot about all these galaxies far away and all this life on this and life on that. I'm going, well, you know, I know there's only 711 missing books, but I don't see it in the scripture. I'm not seeing it in the scripture. I said, Lord, there's a few people that have a good handle on it, that they know. They know that the aliens are actually these demon spirits. I heard someone say this week, they'd asked somebody a question. And they had said it was a question and answer. And this person said that they were asleep. And they woke up and this reptilian was doing something to their head. I'm going, say what? Anyway, the person said they yelled out to somebody in the house. And they came and that thing disappeared. You know, I talked about the reptilians. It's my prayer that this truth will come out, the real truth about what these things are. See, Satan himself can appear as an angel of light. And there's evidently all kinds of different groups of aliens that have appeared to people, manifested themselves to them. Some of them in the guise of being good. Some in the guise of being not so good. Right here. I mean, this right here, four corners of the earth. The earth's flat, people. The Bible says so. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. If we needed to have dominion over aliens, we do have dominion over aliens, but if there was something other than that, it wouldn't be just in the heaven above, on the earth, and under the earth, would it? That ought to tell you. They fit somewhere in those three dominions. Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Deputized. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. You know, they haven't recognized Messiah, so how could it be them? As a whole. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephthalim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. Okay. All right. Now, let's go over to chapter 19. We're sealed. We're deputized. Chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth the sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treaded the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet and that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. All right, what I'm saying to you here today is this: Jesus is our backup. I remember something that back in 2015, the Lord began to have us, through the petition, to pray the Lord's Prayer. That his kingdom come, his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then Danny had last year in Revelation about that he comes quickly. And then we were to say to him, or he told Danny, he said, you know, people are not saying that enough. They're not saying they want me to come. They want me to come. Yeah. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. He's our backup. When we get in situations and circumstances, we are in a war. Satan is the enemy. We've been sealed and deputized to be the enforcers here against that enemy. Okay, we've read these scriptures, but we're going to read them again. This is 2 Kings. As we go about and we do our stuff, Jesus is here. I remember Brother Hagin talking about one of the prophetesses that was kind of followed his ministry or when he were in his services. And this woman, he could tell that she was seeing a vision while he was preaching. And he stopped and he asked her, what are you seeing? And she said, I just saw Jesus on a white horse and he is surveying the troops. He is going in and out among the pews and stuff on his white horse. Yeah. And I thought, well, that's something. Was he here? Yeah, he was. Did anybody else see him? No, they didn't. But God let her see in the spirit realm. As a prophetess, she probably operated in discerning of spirits, so that's looking into the spirit world. Seeing things by the spirit. She saw what was real. She saw what was true. Rather not, we see it with our visible eyes. Rather, he comes physically for us to see. We know he's here. We know he backs us up, him and his armies. Okay, 2 Kings 6. I'm trying to get people out of their squirrely mindsets about the book of Revelation. We've got to make this a practical working book, Not some Star Wars something out there in the future someday that never comes. Because we're in it, man. We're living it. Okay. 2 Kings 6, 8. Is that right? 2 Kings. Then the king of Syria warned against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place where the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once or nor twice. Sounds like we need some prophets working with the government, don't we? Therefore, or with the military, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. Like, what in the world? Who's... And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, we got a spy. We got a mole in the camp. No, it said prophet. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Whoa. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore, isn't that what Star Wars, isn't it Dothan? You know, I've been seeing some stuff in the scriptures that I've been seeing that was stuff that you saw in Star Wars or things you heard in Star Wars. Therefore, send he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant and the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, and a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. I think that's what the Lord wants us. That's the word for tonight. The Lord says, he says, wherever you go, I want you to know you've got armies with you. And you need to view it that way. Quit feeling like you're so alone and a victim. God doesn't want that. He wants us to know that we've got angelic armies. Not just an angel or two. I'm talking armies. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. See those people of faith, we got backup. Backup. All right, I want to read the book of just a page or so in the book of Enoch. I'm reading through this again, seeing some pretty cool stuff. This is the parable of Enoch and the future lot of the wicked and the righteous. In the words of the blessing of Enoch, wherewith he blessed the elect and righteous who will be living in the day of tribulation, when all the wicked and godless are to be removed. Yay! Did you see that? All the wicked and godless to be removed, not the sinner, saints, but the sinners. And he took up his parable and said, Enoch, a righteous man whose eyes were opened by God, saw the vision of the Holy One in the heavens, which the angel showed me, and from them I heard everything. And from them I understood and I saw, but not for this generation, but for a remote one, which is far to come. Concerning the elect, I said, and took up my parable concerning them. The Holy Great One will come forth from his dwelling, and the Eternal God will tread upon the earth, even on Mount Sinai, and appear from his camp, and appear in the strength of his might from the heaven of heavens. And all shall be smitten with fear, and the watchers shall quake, and great fear and trembling shall seize them unto the ends of the earth. And the high mountains shall be shaken, and the high hills shall be made low, and shall melt like wax before the flame. And the earth shall be wholly rent in sunder, and all that is upon the earth shall perish, and there shall be a judgment upon all men. But with the righteous he will make peace, and will protect the elect, and mercy shall be upon them, and they shall all belong to God, and they shall be prospered, and they shall all be blessed, and he will help them all, and light shall appear unto them, and he will make peace with them. And behold, he cometh with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to destroy all the ungodly and to convict all flesh of all the works of their ungodliness which they have ungodly committed and of all the hard things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds like some of the scriptures that you read throughout the New Testament. Does this mean that Jesus will literally come? Well, he might be spiritually discerned. Maybe not everyone will see him, but it does say when he comes, I would see him, even those that pierced him. From a spiritual perspective, for sure, but not sure. From a physical one, we'll see. But we are the guardians of the earth. God has put us in charge. Not of the universe, but of the earth. I don't believe in the universe thing. Not anymore. All that stuff that was crammed down our throats from the time we went to school. All right, let's look at Genesis 1, 26. I want to get your mentality to where, rather he does, rather it all comes down like we've been taught in church, or if it all comes down in a different way to where we are the ones that take our nation back. We're not using anybody. Nobody's going to be a crutch. Nobody's going to be an escape hatch. Nobody's going to be a bailout. We're going to occupy. This is all about tonight. It's about occupying. All right, Genesis 1, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Does that sound like a bailout? Dominion right here in the Strong's means to tread down, subjugate, to crumble off, prevail against, reign, rule over, take. Absolute dominance. All right. With that, we'll look at Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. We are supposed to be enforcing the dominion that God gave us at that day one, the first day. Why is the earth in the state that it's in? Men did not take dominion. Men didn't take their dominion. Is it God's fault? Do we have any right to call out to get him to get us out of this mess? Do we have a right to call on him and ask him to get us out of this mess? Well, he's bailed us out many times before. He's bailed people out many times before. Okay. But at the end of the day, we have been given the say here. Okay. So how do we enforce it in the earth? How do we enforce it? Okay, we enforce it the same way that God enforced it in heaven. How did he set the earth back in order? Okay, let's go to Genesis 1. Genesis 1, 15. Did Just this statement alone, well, the first one. Verse 2, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. But I like 15 because it says, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light unto the earth. And it was so. It was so. We need to believe in our words just like we believe in God's words. If we're made in His image and likeness, and we're to act like He acted, then we need to believe our words. He believes them. That's why He could create all these days. There's some significance. I was thinking about 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. And I got to thinking, there's significance to that first 1,000 years, that first day. There's significance to the 2,000 years, the second day. I'm on probably looking at that. But anyway, turn with me to Mark 4. Words. Words. We've learned from the parable of the sower, words. Our words are seed. And that's how the kingdom of God operates. This is Mark 4:26. What did Jesus teach? He taught kingdom, dominion, and authority. That's what He taught. All right. And He said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Okay. When you see destruction, what do you need to do? You need to sow righteousness. What's destruction? Unrighteousness. Okay. All right, we've got a whole earth like that. Okay, we're going to look at what Jesus did. It's Mark 11. We'll start with 11 because we want to see what He did, where He was coming from. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when He had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, He went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, He was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, He came, if haply He might find anything thereon. And when He came to it, He found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And His disciples heard it. Okay, then verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. The correct interpretation of that is have God's faith. He is given to every man, Romans 12:3, the measure of faith, the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. Have you ever noticed that whenever things that you just haggle about and just fret about, there are sometimes a long time coming, but things you just speak, just going about your business, you don't even give it a thought, they just happen. There's something to be said about believing your words. If you believe your words and you believe what you've spoken, then that's the way you'll act. Jesus didn't go back to look at the fig tree. Peter saw it. He just went on about his business. Probably didn't even notice it over there all dried up. He didn't need to see it. He already knew his words worked. He believed his words, and they worked. Just like God spoke his words, and they worked. Same scenario here. I want to read you a quote. This is Dominion Theology by C. Peter Wagner. God's reign was in the heavenlies, and he created the earth with the thought of extending his reign. Earth was to be a colony of heaven. God was the king of all. He delegated the human race, represented in the beginning by Adam, as governors over this colony. The visible earth is supposed to reflect the nature and essence of the invisible nature, parent kingdom of heaven. The second Adam did what was necessary to put back in place God's original design for the earth as a colony of heaven. The Amplified, Peter, I think it's in, maybe it's not Peter, but anyway, it talks about the commonwealth of heaven. Once he did, he then delegated the responsibility of bringing God's plan into being. That's what Jesus did when he was here. In fact, he showed the disciples how to do it so they could take the message and show others how to do it. Okay, Matthew 16:19. You know, you think about some of our states they call commonwealths, which commonwealth just means a state. It's like we are part of the United States for America. So that's the way heaven is to us. All right, 16. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We have the keys to the city, the commonwealth, the state, the colony, whatever you want to call it, of heaven. He said, here, you know, when the kid turns 16 and he wants to borrow dad's car, you pitch him the keys. That's what God did. Okay, now turn to 1 Samuel. Verse 45. Let's start with 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? The Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine, and David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew it and cut off his head therewith. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. To cut off the head is to end that authority. That ends that authority. The giant no longer had authority. In fact, their whole army scattered. They talk about cutting off the head of the, you know, like a hydra, cutting off their heads. When you cut off the heads, the rats scurry. We blame the deep state, but in essence, we need to really blame ourselves for the mess we are in. We have the badge and the gun to enforce law and order back into the earth. We are deputized. We're sealed. We have the right. In fact, we're the only ones that have the right and authority in the earth. I don't care if it's a sheriff or whoever. Our authority comes from heaven. And the earth he's given unto man. We have absolute power. A deputy is a person appointed as a substitute with power to act. A second in command or assistant who usually takes charge when his or her superior is absent. We're Christ ambassadors. We are His representatives here. Forgive us, Lord, for not doing a very good job. All right, Luke 19:13. He called His 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. That's what a deputy does. As humans, we usually have something to say about just about everything. That's the way God's made us. We'll say, why did I say that? It's because we're made to say something about everything. We need to make sure when we say that we say something that affects change to what we're saying it to. Not just having a gripe session, not just venting, but with aimed purpose, we have something to say about this situation. And what we say will affect that situation, just like Jesus and the fig tree. Okay, we live in a world out of order. I'm going to read Romans 1. If you ever hear somebody say anything, well, homosexuality is not in the New Testament, then you send them to Romans chapter 1, starting with verse 16. I had somebody ask me that a few years ago. This woman walked in, and I think she had somebody in her family. I don't know if it's a child. Could you give me a scripture about homosexuality in the New Testament? And I said, yes, ma'am, Romans chapter 1. All right, it says, Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not either. Now, in this day and culture, they're trying to make us feel ashamed and make us feel like we're the terrorist because we don't want that going on in our world. We don't want our kids around drag queen story time. We don't want that. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. They know. They know. You can dance around with your purple hair and your pink pedal pushers, guys, but I'm telling you this, God is not going to be mocked. And you know because God put eternity in your heart, you know. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. They have no excuse for what they do. They choose to do what they do. And now they got a bunch of idiots along with them to reinforce what they do. So they're taking it to a new level. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their bodies between themselves. The statue of Baphomet. Baphomet has breasts and it has a penis. This is a transgender god. The statue that you see with the little kids looking up at him in adoration, a man's body and a goat's head, it's hideous. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. That's a lie. This trans crap is a lie. And worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I don't remember, I think it was a week or two ago, Nadler. I call him the penguin. He looks like the penguin. Someone stood up and said, one of the representatives, that what you're doing is against God's law. He said, whatever God does or does not do has no relevancy in this court or this session. I mean, I thought, whew, it's a good thing we're under grace, isn't it? Yeah. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, deceitful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, they know in their heart. That's why when Jesus does come, or when the judgment starts coming down, they're going to run for the holes and the rocks and the caves to hide from him that's coming, because they know exactly what they've done and they know exactly what their punishment is. Yeah. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They are worthy of death. New Testament. Not Old Testament. New Testament. Death penalty. Hey, if that's what you choose, you're going to pay the piper. That's just the way it is. Just this half of a chapter should give us plenty to say about something. Just reading that alone, it gives us plenty to speak about, plenty of things to speak to effect a change. Okay, Matthew 16:19. We need to look at the book of Revelation as part of the New Testament instead of this. No, not touching that. Not touching that. It's the only book that we get blessed to read that we know of. For though all those that read this book are blessed. All right, Matthew 6:19. And I will give you unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I read that a while ago, but let me read 18. 18:18-19. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them, my Father, which is in heaven. He said anything. I don't mean something bad, sinful, but anything that we ask. He already came and saved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He already saved us. He saved us and left us a commission so that we can let everyone know the good news and they can be saved also. We are already saved, sealed, deputized with a badge and a gun to enforce heaven in earth. Already. What do we need a rapture for? You know what I see heaven as? A holding tank for those that die before the end, or before the millennial reign anyway. That's not going to be their home either. It's just a temporary holding place. Kind of like paradise, until the new heaven and new earth. All right, Colossians 2:15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So he's disarmed. All right, Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. If we're going to walk in the Spirit, if we are going to exercise our authority, we are going to have to sit and have a heavenly mentality about this, not an earthly one. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. He is the second Adam. He went, or he came, and he took our place. First Adam missed it. But the second Adam fixed what he did. So now, if you want to read that, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That chapter is all about that. We need to stop waiting on Jesus, POTUS, the military, the government, the law enforcement, and the Supreme Court, and get busy enforcing. If they do stuff, great. But we need to get busy. Because we've been put in charge here. Okay. Actually, Jesus is waiting on us to do what we are supposed to do so he can physically come. Our commission reflects dominion status. The commission alone. All right, Mark 6. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So part of this commission is to break the powers of darkness off of that person. Dominion over the devil. Okay. This is what Jesus taught the 3 years he was here. Kingdom authority. That is dominion. I challenge you to read through and mark in your Bible the many times that Jesus taught the kingdom dominion and demonstrated it. I mean, when he didn't have any food, he took and blessed the food and broke it in pieces and fed 5,000 with couple of fish and a couple of loaves. Okay. As the Lord leads us, we need to get every believer that will listen out of this escape clause mentality and into taking authority over evil. This is how we're going to get rid of it. You can already see the narrative changing. There's things coming out. It seems like stuff in favor of President Trump. Reporters retracting or newspapers retracting lies they told about him, saying we made a mistake, we were wrong. We misquoted or misstated. You see places turning around voter laws and doing what should have been done before. I think it was all a plan. I think the president said, act like I'm the plague. Don't do nothing for me. Why? Why do you think Fox is now having a change? They're having the president back on and different things. Because Fox looked like they turned tide and ran and were traitors. And now all the liberals rush to Fox. Now what are they seeing? Exoneration. They're seeing the truth. They're getting some red pilling. We're going to find out a lot. We thought those that were traitors are actually playing a part that they were not. I believe that. I think all of it, I think every bit of it is in the plan. It's happening just like he wanted it to, and he's out of the picture, see? And now these individual states are coming in and saying, yeah, this election, this was mess. It was fraud. Yes, that was wrong. It's turning around. Why? Because we're deputized and we're enforcing things. We're speaking. All right, Revelation 1:6. hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. When he comes, we're ruling and reigning. We're not waiting till he gets here to rule and reign. We need to get that kind of thinking out of our heads. Well, when he gets here, blah, 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 blah. When he gets here, it'll be over. I always said, and I told the Lord this, I said, Lord, I would like it to be when you do show up, we have done our job, and you don't have anything to do. But just set up your kingdom. We have occupied, we've taken the talents that you've given us, and we've gained with it. And you can say, well done. Well done! You did what I told you to do. Enter into the rest and all the good things of the Lord. Okay. This is a little word from the Lord here. Once you've taken the dominion, once you have taken dominion, I back you up. My warriors are what are causing change in the earth. What is spoken by faith set the wheels of change in motion. The leaders are actually carrying out your orders. The leaders are carrying out your orders. That's why the president, he's stepping back. He has to let the people rise up and say, we want our country back. We're not going to put up with what the devil's doing anymore. We've had it with these, you know what's. You are in charge, not them. You, as my enforcers, are the power behind the scenes. When I said light be, light was. When you say it is, it is. I allowed Adam to name the animals, and whatever Adam called them, that is what they were. You are in charge, so get busy. Be careful to only speak the words that will work in your situation. Working words, not non-working words. We don't need to waste our words trying to get into the narrative of some of the silly garbage that's going on. It's for a reason. All right, I want you to confess this with me. Rules, rules, regulations, and laws change to my advantage when necessary in the name of Jesus. All right.